the four principles of stewardship we learned last week. Does anybody remember one of them? Faithfulness? Kind of. A steward's to be faithful, right? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God expects his stewards to be faithful. Okay, so that's one of them. What's another one? No, we're going to get to that today. That was good. We're going to get to that today. The four principles. So everything belongs to God. We spent a lot of time on that. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Okay. And then stewardship is basically the definition of stewardship. Stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. So you're managing what belongs to somebody else. Okay. Well, if the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, then everything we see here, wherever you go on earth, in the universe, really, but you know, we're stuck here. We live here. So everything you see here really belongs to who? To the Lord. Okay, so then if he allows us to use it, then we are managing what belongs to him. So we're to manage how he would want us to take care of the things that belong to him. So stewardship is the management of the affairs of another. And then who is a steward as we're getting more specific into this? Every Christian. Every Christian is a steward. Okay, as we're getting into the details of this. Now, obviously, every human is a steward because we're all here on his creation. But we want to get more specific into stewardship, because he calls us stewards, and he is going to come and ask us to give an account to him. So every Christian is a steward, and then it's required that stewards be found faithful. All right, so those are the four principles of stewardship we learned last week. Now, this week we're going to look at the areas of stewardship God has entrusted to us. Okay, and Andre already hit on it, our treasure, our time, our talent. There's one other one I didn't mention last week. It's our testimony. Okay, we'll look at that. But this week, what I'm going to focus on is our time. We're to be stewards of our time. Let me back up a bit and say, understanding those four principles are going to help us when we get to really all of this, but especially with our treasure. Okay, so it's stewardship of our time, our talent, our testimony, and our treasure. Okay, when we understand these, because here's where it's really meted out, where the rubber meets the road, is when it comes time to give financially. That's when, like, your walk with God and what you believe about him is really shown for what it is. It's there. People don't mind maybe giving their time, some of the talent, and even having a good testimony. But when it comes to the practical of giving my money, which, by the way, your money is your time, but, you know, you understand what I'm saying. When it comes time to giving money, that's when, like, people's Christianity is found out for what it really is. What do you really believe about God? Okay, so if we understand those principles, that then that everything belongs to God and I'm just managing it for him, and he's given us quite a bit of free rein with it, hasn't he? Because it's so much to the point that I don't have to give anything. Like, all of my time can be for me, none of it can be for him. All of my treasure can be for me, none of it can be for him. He's given us some leeway. It doesn't mean we're not going to be held accountable, but he's basically like, here's the instructions. This is what I expect. I'm coming back. Do what you think is best. And he's left it up to us. So we get to make that choice. We get to make that decision. So he's left us some leeway, but if we will understand these principles, it's going to help us when it comes time to actually giving to him. We're like, well, it all belongs to you anyway. So here you go. This is the least I can do. Oh, you purchased my salvation that I never could? Well, then why wouldn't I do this for you? I mean, it makes it pretty simple, but you've got to grasp those. You have to understand those. Now, this week, we're going to look at the stewardship God has entrusted to us with our time. Okay, what do we do with our time? Each week, there's 168 hours. Okay, every one of us has the same amount of time, 168 hours each week. That comes out to 10,080 minutes every week. Okay, that's what each of us has, 10,080 minutes a week. What are you doing with that time? What are you doing with that time that the Lord has entrusted you with? The Bible says that we are to redeem the time or make every minute count for God. In Ephesians 5:16, this was our memory verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, that means to make them count. Make our time, make your time count for God. Make your time count for God. So what are you doing with your time? Are you wasting the time God has given to you? What are you doing with the time God's given you? Do you spend it on him? Do you spend it on eternal things? Do you spend it on temporal things? What are you doing with the time God's given to you? Let's pray. Father, we love you. We come before you, ask you to help us to have biblical balance in this area, Lord. I don't want this to come off that it's going to be a burden and every single second you have needs to be devoted to doing something for the Lord, because I don't think that's what you want for us, Lord. There was even a time in your earthly ministry when you left everyone and got apart so you could rest. And I think that's necessary and needed, Lord. But I just want you to help us to have biblical balance, please. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to say at the get-go, you kind of heard it in my prayer already, but making our time count for God doesn't mean then that we never have any time to do something that we enjoy. I'm not saying that at all. I don't think that's good. I don't think it's healthy to never have any just like downtime where you can just rest, relax, whatever brings you relaxation. But I am saying that we need to make sure I'm giving time to God. I am dedicating time to God. He is a major focus in my life that I'll just get to it. I'm not going to jump ahead of myself. So we redeem the time through having and keeping a schedule. If we're to make every minute count for God, then we need to have and keep a schedule. I think the biggest part of that is keep a schedule, because we can all write out a schedule and have it, but if we don't keep it, it means nothing. So keeping a schedule, and I'm going to give us some basic principles here on how to figure out your schedule, and you're going to have to sit down and do it yourself, but then keeping it. But here's some principles to help us get this set up and get the priorities within our schedule right. And something I need to do again. I've done it in the past. I need to do it again. Now, a schedule is much like a budget. Okay, I know these are like just two bad words I brought up 2 weeks in a row, right? Budget last week, schedule this week. It's awful, right? Well, a budget is your boss, okay? And a schedule is your boss, you know? So do what your boss says, right? Okay, so a budget simply tells your money where to go, right? That's all a budget does. And if you want, hey, I'm budgeting money for fun, great. There's nothing wrong with that. Your budget tells your money where to go. But once I go beyond that, then it's like, okay, I can't, no more fun because I ran out of what my boss told me to do. I don't have any more money for that category, so then I'm done. Okay, so a budget tells your money what to do. A schedule tells your time what to do. So I've given myself this time for this activity. I've given myself this time for this activity. And you're basically telling yourself what to do. You're writing it down, and this is going to be my boss. My schedule tells me what to do. I need to adhere to my schedule. And that takes discipline. It's not easy. You're going to fail at it, and you're going to have to just get back at it and just do it again and just keep yourself going. Keep doing it. So a budget tells your money what to do, while a schedule tells your time what to do. When making a schedule, you have to fit the big rocks first. Okay, what do I mean by that? You have to fit the big rocks first. Imagine you have a jar. Okay, and this jar represents the time that you have. And then you've got a bunch of pebbles over here, just a huge bucket of pebbles. And then over here, you've got, you know, 4 to 6 good size rocks. Okay, and your bucket or your barrel, your jar, whatever, isn't very big. It's about this big, okay? And you got to fit this stuff in there. Now, if you take all these pebbles and you fill the jar with the pebbles first, and then you try and put these big rocks in, are you going to get the big rocks in? No, because there's no room left, right? You don't have any space to put them in. You can maybe get 1 or 2 in if you shove them and push some things around and some of the pebbles come out, but you're not going to be able to fit all of those large rocks in the jar because all the space is taken up. All your time's already taken up. So what you need to do is you have to start with the big rocks first. You get the big rocks first, and you put those in the jar first. And then you can get all the little pebbles, and you can dump them in there and fill up all the extra time that you have with these little things. Okay, that's just an illustration to show us what's important. Okay, and what's important, these big rocks are like the major things in our life, the major roles that you have in your life. Okay, you want to get those in first. Those have to get your time first. Those are the main things. Those are the most important things. Okay, and as we look at life, those things are going to be like where many of you are, what's one of the first things we could think of, first areas of stewardship we have with our time? What should it be? We're Christians, right? I'm a Christian. So what comes important with that? It's going to be my walk with God, right? So it's going to be my time in Bible reading and prayer, and we could say Bible study as well. Okay, those are going to be a big part of it, right? So I need to, that's like got to be a major rock, right? If seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, right? So if I'm seeking God's kingdom first, then this needs to be a major part of it. So I need to make certain that that boulder, that rock or whatever gets put in the jar first. That's an important one. So therefore, I need to schedule, and by the way, this would be good stuff to write down. I need to schedule time then for my walk with God. Okay, that I'm a Christian. That's one of the roles that I have. I'm a Christian. All right, secondly, what's something else that we could see? And this gets individualized. I'm just going to give some general things, but it does get individualized for your own personal circumstance. Okay, so my walk with God. Let me jump in here and just, sorry, let me see where I'm at. I wrote all mine down. So the big rocks, again, are like the major roles that we have. The little pebbles are all the little things in life we do, like running errands, hobbies, entertainment, extracurricular activities, sports. These all have their proper place, but they're not the main thing. So the big rocks are the important areas of our lives. First, I'm a Christian, okay, or that's our walk with God. Secondly, for me, I'm a husband. Okay, I'm a husband. That's a big rock for me. That's a big role that I fill. Maybe you're a child, okay? That's going to be a role that you fill. So that needs to be in there. I need to be the right type of child. I need to be the right type of husband. I need to be the right type of wife. Okay? That's a role that you need to fill. So what am I doing in that role? Another area is maybe I'm an employee. That takes up a big chunk of probably most of our lives is being an employee. All right? And I'll get to some figures on that. But that's something else we want to put in there. So we're Christians. For me personally, I'm a husband. Secondly, I'm a father. And by the way, these will change as life changes for you. You're going to have to add to your roles or maybe take something away that like this was important at this stage, but now this isn't as important. This one has overtaken it. All right? Because obviously, like I can't dedicate the exact same amount of time to being a husband once children start coming, right? Because then they're going to get some of that time that my wife used to get. So clearly things are going to have to change and be adjusted. But when you become a parent, now I'm a parent. So for me personally, I'm a father. That needs to take some time as well. That time needs to be given to that. So these are the things I want to get in my jar so I can schedule time for them. Okay, so I'm a Christian. I'm a husband. I'm a father. What else? I'm a pastor. That's a big role for me, so I have to make time for that. So that's something in my jar that's going in that I'm a pastor. I have to make time. That has to be in my schedule to be a pastor. When can I study? When can I get all the paperwork and stuff done and just all the organization of getting the things that are needed if we're going to have a big event or something like that or even scheduling, you know, a church work day when we're going to clean here. I've got to give time for all of that stuff and I've got to let people know that this is going to happen. So all these different things. And again, this is all individualized for each of us. You have to sit down and figure out what are my major roles. And you might just have three or four. You might have five or six. But it's not going to be a huge amount. It's going to be, these are my major roles, so I need to make sure I have time for these, to get these things done, to fit these into my life, all right? So we're Christians. I'm a husband, I'm a father, I'm a pastor, and then I'm an employee. So I have to fit all of these major rocks into my schedule, and they have to, you know, they're going to take time. So these are the big ones that I need to give time to. Now, you have to get these big rocks in your jar first, or they're not going to fit. In your jar of time if you got all the little things in there first. And how many of us notice that the little things can take up so much time? Right? They can just like, oh, what happened to the day? Right? Any of you ever binge watch something and like the whole day's gone? Right? Like what happened there? Right? Well, was that on your schedule? You know, I mean, it's okay. Watch something, put it on your schedule. Like have time set aside for it that you're not neglecting other roles that you have. See, God expects us to be stewards of our time, redeeming the time, for the days are evil. So make every minute count. This is what God wants of us. Make every minute count. So you've got to get those big rocks in first. They take priority in your schedule, so you have to fit your schedule around them. Now, making a schedule is going to take a little effort, but you got to sit down, think through your priorities and what's really important in your life. You need to do that. This is something that I honestly, every single person here needs to do. You've got to sit down and say, when am I going to fit this in my schedule? When am I going to fit my walk with God into my schedule? And not that, you know, God, the Bible says in Proverbs that we're to give God the first fruits. That's first. Okay, and there's a lot of ways you can take that, but really God's to get first, the best, not the leftovers. And that's often what we give God is the leftovers. Well, I didn't spend time with him now. I'll do it at the end of the day. Like when I'm tired and ready to fall asleep, I'm going to give that to God. Was that the best? I mean, maybe you're alert at the end of the day. Maybe you're not. I don't know. You figure that out. But these are the questions we need to ask ourselves. It's going to take some effort, but ask yourself, what are your priorities? We need to do this as we make this schedule. It needs to be done through a biblical or a kingdom lens. I already quoted this, but Matthew 6:33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So I'm to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. So when I'm setting my schedule, it needs to be done through a biblical or a kingdom lens, seeking his kingdom first. So my priorities are going to be based off of God's kingdom first, not his kingdom second, third, or fourth, but his kingdom first. Excuse me, and only you know what that's going to mean for your life. Once you have determined your big rocks, then you need to prioritize those in your schedule and let everything else fit in around that. Okay, then you let everything else fit around your big rocks, around your priorities in life. Everything else. That means sometimes things are going to take a back seat to what's really important. And that may mean you have to make tough decisions sometimes, but that's what you have to do. Like, I pretty much gave you my order of like my priorities. I'll list it again. Let me find the list here. First, I'm a Christian. That's priority number one. Second, I'm a husband. Third, I'm a father. Fourth, I'm a pastor. Fifth, I'm an employee. Okay, that is my chain of command right there. That is the order that those get prioritized, is right there. It's going to be my walk with God first. That should be number one for each of us. Then it's going to be my relationship with my wife. Then my children. Okay? And then that I'm a pastor. And then that I'm an employee. So the first two things take priority over the three below it. So if something's going to give, and we have to be willing to make the hard choices, then I'm not going to sacrifice one of these for something below it. Does that make sense? Now, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be give and take at times with things, but like, look, if there's a moment where I'm like super busy at work, okay, for a season, then it needs to be, okay, now I'm going to dedicate more time after that's over to my wife and children or whatever the case may be. Then we prioritize like that and we keep things in proper perspective. Okay, so we want to have a biblical or kingdom lens. You prioritize your big rocks in your schedule and let everything else fit in around those. So this is why it's important to sit down and take time and think about what truly is important in my life and what does God say is important in my life. Because if it's not one of these major things, it doesn't mean other things aren't important, but it definitely means they're not as important and these need to take priority. So there's going to be times when it's like, hey, I would like to hang out with you, but I can't because I already have to do this. And so maybe you're going to have to cut time off of a friendship or cut some time off of some activity that you do, something that you enjoy, because you're like, well, this is a greater priority. This is more important. When I look at my life and my priorities and I look at it through a biblical lens, I realize that that thing that I like isn't as important and it shouldn't get as much time as I've been giving it. Or maybe you look at something, you're like, this needs to get more time than I've been giving it. But you'll have to make those decisions. This is why it's important to sit down and ask yourself, what is truly important to me and what does God want to be important to me? Maybe something that's important to me through a biblical lens, God is saying that's not so important. And it doesn't mean that he's saying it's not important at all, but he's saying it's not as important as you've made it. We have to be honest with ourselves and be willing to say that and admit that those things to ourselves. Okay. Once you have your priorities straight, it means there will be times that you're going to have to tell people no. Okay? And I'm like the worst at this. Ask my wife, okay? I'm not very good at this, and we've had this discussion before, but sometimes you just have to tell people no. By the way, I don't know if you knew this, but just because a pastor preaches on something doesn't mean he has it nailed down. All right? I don't know if everybody knew that, but that's a truth. In order to help people, you have to preach above where you're at. So I am not, like, I don't have all of this figured out. I'm not, like, got this all just lined up. Like I said, you know, sometimes you're going to have to tell people no, and I'm not the best at doing that because I like to help people and I want to help people if I can. And sometimes I do it to the detriment of, you know, maybe my relationship with my wife, which isn't always a good thing. It's actually not a good thing, usually ever. It's never a good thing in most cases. But you understand what I'm saying. You sometimes have to tell people no. And it's not because you don't care about them or because you don't love them, but that there is a greater overall need in your life as you prepare to one day stand before your King and give account of your stewardship. See, that's what I'm talking about. We have a kingdom mindset. And I'm like, no, I'm not doing this because I don't love you, because I don't care about you, because I don't want to help. I'm telling you no, or I'm not, you know, making this a big deal in my schedule because I understand, I can see with an eternal perspective that one day I am going to have to stand before the Lord and I am going to have to give an account of myself before God. And this really isn't that important. Here's something I like. Let me see if I can word this right. And I don't mean this to sound rude in any way, but this will help us in kind of understanding this and thinking through this, is that just because somebody brings an emergency to you and it's their emergency, it doesn't mean that it's your emergency. Okay, I think that can help a lot of us. Just because it's an emergency to somebody else doesn't mean it's an emergency to me. Okay, it doesn't have to be my emergency. Or we could say, like, your poor planning doesn't mean that I have to, like, jump and run now because you didn't plan properly. Because now you're in an emergency mode doesn't mean I am. On YouTube, I watched this guy that was a former paramedic, a fireman, and obviously an EMT and all of that. And one of the things he says is when you come up to an accident scene, remember that this is their emergency, not yours. And what he's saying by that is, he's like, keep yourself safe. Just because they're having an emergency, don't freak out and get yourself hurt. Like, be careful. And he's mostly dealing with, like, traffic stuff. So he's like, watch yourself. Don't go and get hit by a car or something because you're trying to help them and you're in such a rush. He says, this is their emergency, not yours. Now, yeah, you want to help them. And yeah, you want to try and do it quickly, but make sure you're doing it safe. And that's the same type of thing that you're sometimes going to have to tell people no, even though they're like, well, this is important. This needs to get done. And no, this is important to you. And it's not that I don't care about you or I don't love you or I don't think that it's important, but as important as it is to you, it's not that important to me. This isn't a priority for me. And that'll help you to be able to say, no, I can't do that. So again, it doesn't mean you don't care. It just means you're living with a kingdom mindset, an eternal perspective. And you're saying, you know what, you have to do this in your own life, even especially when you first sit down to do this, and you're going to say, I really enjoy doing this and spending X amount of time doing this, but this really isn't, like, beneficial to me for eternity in the long run. Now, some of it's not bad. Maybe it helps me to kind of, you know, just relax or whatever and unwind. So I need some of it, but as much time as I was giving to it, that I don't need. So I'm going to have to tell myself no. Oh, that's the hard one really right there, right? When we have to tell ourselves no, I'm going to have to tell myself no, that I'm not going to give that much time over to whatever this may be. So we're going to have to do that. God says that our life on earth is compared to a vapor. A vapor. You ever seen a vapor? You ever dropped a drop of water on something that's just like super hot and it's and you just see it go up and that's it? That's your life. In comparison to eternity, your life is a vapor. It's that. It's just, you remember as a kid, maybe playing in the sprinklers or something. It's a hot summer day, maybe even at the pool. and it's super hot, and you get out of the water and you start walking on the concrete, and then you're like, ooh, ooh, it's getting hot, and you start like running and moving real fast, and then you look back at your footprints and you just see them just dissolve away. A vapor. That's your life. That's what God says your life is. It's gone that fast. Your life is gone that fast. James 4:14. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. That's what God says about your life. It's just a vapor. It's here for a little bit and then it vanishes away. And in light of eternity, we'd say, well, yeah, that's definitely true. It's like almost nothing. It's like less than the blink of an eye. We mustn't allow the trinkets of this world to cloud our vision for the things that are eternal and therefore the things that really matter. Paul warned us of this in 2 Timothy 2:4 when he said, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. So if you're warring, if you're battling, if you're a Christian soldier, if we understand that we're, you know, we are in spiritual warfare, we are in battle, we're not going to entangle ourselves with the affairs of this life, with the trinkets that this world offers. We're not going to get all caught up in them. We're going to focus on the eternal things. Okay, the things that ultimately matter. Why? So that we can please him who hath chosen us to be a soldier. Who? So we can please Christ. The things I'm doing, me prioritizing my schedule, me figuring out my big rocks and putting them in there, I'm basing this off the things that the Bible says. That's where my big rocks come from. These are the roles that I have that God has deemed. These are important. So I'm doing that to please him who has made me a soldier. I want to prioritize that. I want to prioritize my service to God. Me being a Christian isn't just, you know, my Bible reading and my prayer. It's also, you know, me coming to church. It's me going out and sharing the gospel with people. It's me having a good testimony so that when I do share the gospel with people, it means something. It's all of those things. It's us constantly looking at these things and not being distracted by the things of the world, but focused on what's eternal. Hebrews 10:25 tells us one major area we're to give back to God, the time he has given to us, and that's here at church. Hebrews 10:25 says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake it. It's going to take time then not to forsake assembling together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So how much time do we really give to God? Because that's really what we're focusing on. Yes, stewardship works in these other roles that we have. And I think it would be helpful, beneficial for every one of you to, even if you can this afternoon when you get home, or maybe tomorrow, whenever, soon though, because if not, you'll forget about it. But soon sit down and go through your schedule and find out, what are my major roles? What are my big rocks that I need in the jar? Okay, and those things. And I promise you, you're not even gonna have to think about the pebbles really, unless it's to get the pebbles out. Okay, because those are going to fill up the rest of the time. They're going to. It'll happen without you even doing anything about it. That's going to happen. The problem is making sure the big rocks are in the jar first. That's what you need to do. So you need to figure out what those are. I highly encourage every one of you to sit down and do that. What are my major roles? What does God want for me? Let me do that. Okay, so one of these is obviously then going to be in our service to God. How much time do we give to God? So I'm just going to look at this here. You realize there's 168 hours in a week, okay? 168 hours a week. All right, so how much time do we really give to God? Let's say Sunday school, we give him an hour. Let's say a morning service, we give him an hour. Afternoon service, we give him an hour. A midweek service, we give him an hour and a half. And then, let me make sure I'm adding this up right. And then, soul winning, we give him 2 hours every other week or 1 hour a week. Okay, that comes out to 5.5 hours a week that we give to God. Okay? 5.5 hours a week we give to God. That equals a grand total, get this, all right, 168 hours a week, we give him 5.5 hours a week, all right? If you say, well, I think I give more than that. I think I give, you know, like 6.5, 7 hours a week. Great, all right. Here's what 5.5 hours a week totals of your 168 hours a week, 3.3%. That is 3.3% of your week. 5.5 hours given to God is 3.3% of your week. I think it was actually like 3.27, but I rounded up. 3.3% of your week. If you give just those, let me read them again. An hour for Sunday school, an hour for morning service, an hour for an afternoon service, 1.5 hours for the midweek service, and then an hour soul winning every week. Okay, now obviously I didn't count the time when we come in before, you know, Well, I did actually. I gave us 2 hours. I didn't count lunch afterwards, really. So I divided it an hour a week, okay? Because we're here about 2 hours. So, you know, again, these figures may be a little different, but they're pretty accurate. Okay, now, if you sleep 8 hours a day, that makes that 5.5 hours a week a total of 4.9% of your waking hours in a week. Okay, if you take out 8 hours a day for sleep, you're actually giving 4.9% of your waking hours in a week to the Lord. Okay, so you're almost at 5% then if you take out the 8 hours a day times 7. Most of us don't sleep 8 hours a day, do we? No, we wish we were sleeping 8 hours a day, right? Anybody getting 8 hours a day? Kiko does. All right, nice. I usually get like probably 6 to 7. Anna gets like 16, 17 hours, I think. No, it's not that much, but she's getting probably more than 8, that's for sure. So I've just kept it conservative. 8 hours a day makes it a total of 4.9% of your waking hours in a week that we're giving to God if it's those 5.5 hours, okay? Now, let's add an hour a day for your personal walk. So that's 5.5 hours plus 7 hours every day for our personal walk. If I'm giving an hour a day for Bible reading and prayer, that's 12.5 hours, okay? 12.5 hours a week. So if I do that, we come to a total of 11.2% of your waking hours a week are given to God. Okay? 12.5 hours a week out of 168 hours. Now we're taking out 56 hours for sleep. Okay, that's 112 hours. All right. That gives us, if we give 12.5 hours of 112 hours, that gives us 11.2% of your waking hours a week are given to God. Now, I don't think that's at all asking too much for us to give to God. Especially, get this now, when you give 35.7% of your weekly time to work if you only work 40 hours a week. So if you work 40 hours a week, you're giving 35.7% of your waking hours to work. Okay? So is giving 11.2% of your waking hours a week to God too much? No. No. And let me read Hebrews 11:25 again, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Does anybody remember what 1 Timothy 4:1 said? The Spirit speaketh expressly that when? In the latter times, some shall depart from the faith. The latter times now. Some are going to depart from the faith. Why? Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, well, what happens when we assemble at church? What do we get there? We get the apostles' doctrine. We get sound doctrine to combat the increasing doctrines of devils. And this is why we're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more, as you see the day approaching. So 11.2% of your waking hours given to God if you just give Him, if you just show up for the services for soul winning and give Him an hour a day in Bible reading, prayer, Bible study. So how much time are you giving to God? Are you being a good steward of your time? Are you a good steward of the time God has given you? This is not expressly meant to make anyone feel bad, although it may do that, but it's meant to get us to look at ourselves, examine ourselves, and to correct some things. So I hope that's what it can do for us. Let's have a moment of prayer here. Father, we love you. We thank you for the word.